Good evening, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Cronin, and I'm your host for another edition of the Creative Learning Concepts radio show, sponsored by Creative Learning Concepts, LLC. Creative Learning Concepts serves as an adjunct to the school systems, offering resources and assistance to students who fall behind academically, socially, or behaviorally. Each show, we discuss how Creative Learning Concepts can help young people achieve their full potential through assistance in testing, tutoring, counseling, behavior analysis, and modification and special needs assistance. Creative Learning Concepts works in a one-on-one, highly customized environment, which helps students build confidence and self-esteem. Their goal is to keep children engaged in their social and academic world and actually enjoying the process of learning. We're here talking to Lisa Popper, founder of Creative Learning Concepts and director of the Popper Institute, who is joined by Siobhan Cronin, commentator and concert violinist. Welcome to another edition of the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cronin, here with Lisa Popper, founder of Creative Learning Concepts and director of the Popper Institute. We're talking this evening about assistance for students facing academic and social challenges. Well, everyone's back to school, and now that we're well into September, tonight we're going to be looking at and discussing how parents and teachers can be vigilant to emergent problems and get involved in early diagnosis and intervention. We're going to be talking tonight about one of the most challenging situations that parents face, and that is children who are possibly going to show up on the autism spectrum. Tonight, Lisa has invited and will be discussing the programs at Creative Learning Concepts, and we've invited Matt Bluen from Centria Healthcare to weigh in on the importance of early diagnosis. Matt, welcome to the show. We're glad to have you here, and we want to hear a little bit about you and some of the information you can give us about early diagnosis and how many children are being diagnosed and when. What is the prevalence of autism?
Yeah, thanks for having me. Centria Healthcare, we started in 2009, and the real importance is early intervention and being able to provide families and children with therapies that can help with behavioral, social, and communication. Going back to that, it's important for early intervention is going back to early screening. And you asked about prevalence. Currently is 1 in 68, as reported by the CDC, are diagnosed with autism. And the more people are aware of early screening and early intervention, you know, the faster we can help families and kids that have autism.
Now, Lisa, you had a question about the early diagnosis.
Yes, Matt, do you feel that more children are being diagnosed with autism because there's more autism, or do you feel that more parents and professionals are looking for your typical symptoms and know what to look for?
Yeah, it's definitely the latter portion where we have a better, clearer understanding of what to look for. Autism, the word autism is used much more vastly and widely now than it did 10 years ago. And we're also getting much better with diagnosis and early screening and really throughout the community having everybody understand what autism looks like early on.
And Matt, if you can also explain to our listeners what sorts of symptoms are present and are some of these kids falling through the cracks when they visit a pediatrician?
Sure. So autism is really in three different areas. It's either communication-oriented with language or not being able to communicate. It's maybe a sensory issue that they're having or possibly with social interaction. So we see a lot of kids that can speak very clearly, understand when people are talking to them, but maybe are socially awkward in situations with friends and family and have behavioral issues. There was a study that was recently posted that showed that in a 10-minute observation of children with autism, that it's very hard to to see typical or atypical signs of kids with autism. There's actually a study that was posted that said that kids with autism actually had 89% typical behaviors. So in a 10-minute observation of a child, either on video or in person, there was a wide majority of them that were missed by simply looking at them and watching their movements and, you know, having conversation, you know, with family and with the child. That's why it's so important to do the MCHAT, which is a modified checklist for toddlers with autism, and basically goes through 20 questions that has a more clear indicator of whether or not they show signs of autism or not.
And how do you get them into actually being diagnosed? Because I would imagine, as I mentioned before, a lot of pediatricians may miss it, or, you know, who is the person actually responsible for the getting the early diagnosis to work? Because I think you talked about the age being, you know, optimum age being about 3.5.
Yeah, that's right. The earlier, the better. So we start therapies as early as 2 years. We also have children that, you know, are 20 years old that are coming into our program. The important thing is to use the early screening method, the MCHAT, which is the first step in a screening for autism. The next step after that would be to actually get a medical diagnosis. The MCHAT actually can be done by anybody, by a family member, by a pediatrician, by you know, an in-law or a cousin, or really anybody that knows the child well. And that gives them a clear indication of medium or high risk of autism.
Matt, I have one more question for you. Now, I've seen a lot of autistic kids as well, and they're totally different. So what my question is it possible that you could diagnose three different kids and they're not going to present with the same symptoms? And do they have to have, let's say, 3 out of 5 symptoms pervasive for a certain amount of time?
Yeah, so the psychologist that does the medical diagnosis actually, it would have a more clear understanding of, you know, exactly where the help needs to be. You know, it could be behavioral, it could be just social with communication, it could be specific with social. And then it's important to have a custom-tailored program that can help overcome those specific issues.
Okay, well, Matt, we'll definitely come back, and Lisa will come back to that issue when we come back from the break. We're going to have to take a quick break. In the meantime, you're listening to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. You can reach Lisa by calling 844-4-POPPER or visit her online at creativelearningconceptsmi.com. Again, that web address is creativelearningconceptsmi.com. You're listening to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cronin, here with Lisa Popper, founder of Creative Learning Concepts and director of the Popper Institute. We're talking this evening about assistance for students facing academic and social challenges. And specifically, one of our topics for this evening is children who are on the autism spectrum and the importance of early diagnosis. Over the break, we were chatting amongst ourselves about how really terribly important it is. And with most parents working, lots of kids are being put into daycare and then eventually segueing into early childhood and preschool programs. And, you know, we've got to be very vigilant and very careful about very early diagnosis. And Siobhan, you made a comment over the break about your students and what you have to say about the early diagnosis.
Definitely. Well, I mean, this is very informative for me as well, because I think, at least from my perception, a lot of people don't realize how early you do actually have to screen for these things. And I found it, you know, interesting to hear that, you know, 18 months is kind of a time that you should be addressing this. And, you know, in my experience, just dealing with students in music, a lot of times I feel like I see certain signs at a time when the kids are already 5, 6, 7 years old. And, you know, I wonder for myself, you know, how is this a topic that you approach with parents in a sensitive way, but in a way that you also feel is going to help them out? And I think, you know, maybe having a discussion about that would be interesting.
Yeah. So, Matt, you were saying over the break that 18 months are the sooner the better. And you mentioned that you even go into daycare centers and you ask them outright, are they screening for autism, and as early as 18 months, yes?
Yeah, that's correct. The American Academy of Pediatrics actually states in their literature that 18 and 30 months during wellness checkup visits is a typical time that you should be screening for autism. And the MCHAT, which I mentioned before the break, is really the best method into doing that. And in fact, it has been proved by the Surgeon General, the U.S. Surgeon General, as the best method to notice early if a child is showing symptoms of autism. So a lot of what we do is autism awareness and going to daycares and pediatricians and community leaders and really anybody that's involved in a child's life, you know, at 18, 24, 30 months to get them to understand how important it is to screen and understand how important that could be for the development of this child's life in the future. You know, they're screening now, but it takes some time to get into diagnosis, to like find out if they for sure have a, you know, medically are diagnosed with autism and to start receiving services. There's a time that it takes for that process. So the earlier you can screen, the faster that they can get into services and the sooner they'll be able to overcome some of these obstacles and behaviors, you know, that they'll be showing.
Now, you mentioned about daycare centers, child care providers, whatever, babysitters. You said that this MCHAT screening tool doesn't have to be administered by a medical doctor, by a psychologist. You said that anybody and everybody can do it. It's relatively simple. Can you explain a little bit more about what kind of questions are asked on that test and the people that would be giving it?
Yeah, for sure. So the MCHAT can be administered by anybody that is familiar with the child, that spends, you know, more than a couple hours a day with them. So daycare is a good example. You know, and a lot of daycares nowadays talk about they won't allow children into their programs without vaccinations and all these other things. You know, we talk a lot about, well, why not, after a month that the child's been in daycare, you know, screen them for autism? They're familiar with their social play with other children. They're familiar with, you know, eating habits and things like that, which all can come into play. The MCHAT has 20 questions. It takes about 2 to 3 minutes to answer. One of the questions, for example, is, you know, do you ever wonder if your son or daughter is deaf? You know, it's a yes or no question, but shows a very clear indication of possibly having or not having autism. A lot of the other questions are about, you know, communication and listening and you know, things that we tie back to autism, that have been tied back to autism.
And, you know, Lisa, in your practice, and I know yours is a very broad practice because you deal with all kinds of challenges and dysfunctions, and we've talked about many of the types of students that you see and what their challenges are, and certainly autism is one of them. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, how you handle the students that come in to you?
Yes, Anne-Marie. I was listening to Matt, and some of the questions that I ask parents of their children are very similar to the MCHAT. And although I don't get 18-month-olds in the center, I do have 3-year-olds. I do have a pre-screening for the developmental delays and just pre-language and literacy, and they're just very similar questions, and they give you so much information, but like Matt has said several times, the earlier the better. You know, if you get a student tested or screened at a later period of time, a lot of times, negative habits have developed, especially in the areas of reading and literacy. And once these bad habits are developed, it's hard to undo them. And you end up having a program that goes on longer than what would ordinarily have been necessary if the person was screened at an earlier age.
Yeah, and I would think that sometimes, you know, we're probably not thinking about depending on all these people that are like daycare workers or daycare centers. I don't think it's the first thing that would come to most people's minds. I think most parents would want to rush off to their pediatrician, and that's the concern, is that if you're seeing a well child checkup is what, maybe once a year, you know, you lose a lot of time in the interim. And so, Matt, I guess what you're saying is that it's incumbent upon anybody who is around or caring for a child at 18 months or around about that age to become familiar with what the signs are and to speak up and learn a little bit more about it.
Yeah, definitely. And knowing the signs, you know, is an important thing. And even if you don't know every sign, it's understanding that there could be some atypical, you know, behaviors that we don't see with the other kids that we help, you know, during the day. And just by being an advocate and standing up and saying, hey, and it's a tough conversation, right? You have, you know, parents that you're basically saying that they're not similar to the other children in our class, which is a pretty hard conversation, you know, but know that you're doing this family and this child a huge service by standing up and, you know, saying that, you know, maybe you should go see your pediatrician, and they have this MCHAT, or they have early screening and things that can really show, you know, if there's a medium or high risk of having autism. The other thing too is that just by watching a child and watching behaviors, it's really difficult. And I think I might have mentioned this before, it's really difficult to have a keen understanding on if they do have a risk. And that's why it's so important to have a very directed, medically approved screening method like the MCHAT in order to go through those questions and help move the process forward.
Okay, so if somebody like, say, a daycare worker who's not, you know, a nurse or a medically trained person is using this MCHAT, and you mentioned earlier that it's just a couple of minutes, right, to administer this test, what would be the next step? I mean, they're going to get, is it a grade they get, or so many questions are answered positively or negatively, or, you know, what do you come up with at the end of administering the test? What is the grade? What is the cutoff point to say, yes, you got to move on to the next step?
Yeah, similar to autism, there's a spectrum. So you have varying degrees based on points that basically say medium or high risk. If it's a low risk, then there's really nothing you need to do. You can redo the MCHAT in six months or so if they're still showing atypical signs. If they're showing medium or high risk, that's when we would get the insurance company involved and get a psychologist involved to actually do a medical diagnosis, at least to rule it out, is all we're doing.
Right, exactly. Well, it's good to know, and it's certainly very valuable information for people that are in daycare or preschool. We're going to have to take a quick break right now. In the meantime, you're listening to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. You can reach Lisa by calling 844-4-POPPER or visit her online at creativelearningconceptsmi.com. Again, that web address is creativelearningconceptsmi.com. You're listening to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cronin, here with Lisa Popper, founder of Creative Learning Concepts and director of the Popper Institute. We're talking this evening about assistance for students facing academic and social challenges, and specifically we've been talking about autism and early diagnosis being the thing that we need to strive for and achieve as soon as possible. So, Matt, coming back to you, we were talking about over the break how once you've, with the MCHAT and some of the other resources that we use, once the diagnosis has happened, what's the next step? And we've been talking a lot about ABA. Can you please explain to the listeners what that's all about?
Definitely. So a mandate was actually passed in the state and throughout the nation that has coverage for behavioral health services for kids on the spectrum. And so once a screening happens and you're, you know, navigated to a psychologist to actually do a medical diagnosis, and if that diagnosis does come back with autism, applied behavior analysis has been, you know, approved by the U.S. Surgeon General as a therapy that has the biggest positive effect on children's lives that have autism. And ABA therapy, or applied behavior analysis, is a science that works on a majority of people, not just kids with autism, but has shown to have really great positive impacts on their lives. And it's a science that basically uses positive reinforcement that breaks down complex situations and we think of a complex situation as many things, but complex could be brushing your teeth. But you know, it breaks down brushing your teeth into very small steps that we apply positive reinforcement to help achieve, you know, and get through brushing your teeth, for example. But that can be applied into many different areas with social interaction, play, behaviors, and it's all positive reinforcement, which is something that's really great. So we're seeing that mandate really helping, because a lot of ABA therapies are covered. Most ABA therapy is covered by your insurance, whether it's a Medicaid program or a private insurance. And so really, you know, if your son or daughter is diagnosed, I would definitely look. ABA therapy is really the best method to help them for future.
Okay. And Lisa, you are in your clinic and in your practice. Yours is certainly a more broad spectrum because you treat all kinds of different challenges. But within the autism spectrum, and you're using ABA therapy, can you tell us what you're doing with your students and clients that come to you?
Of course. At Creative Learning Concepts, I have to say, we mix everything together. It's like a big thing of alphabet soup when we teach our kids. But for the younger kiddos, we use ABA on students that are not autistic because, like Matt said, you know, you break these more complex tasks into more simple ones. And with each task that the student achieves, you give them positive reinforcement. What child? I don't care how old you are. Everybody likes to be reinforced positively. Nobody likes negative reinforcement. But there's such, you do it in such a way, even if they miss the task at hand, you say something like, oops, try again. You know, not, no, you didn't do a good job. You do it in a way where they want to try again and get that positive reinforcement for a job well done. And you up the ante as the tasks are achieved. And it works for reading and literacy, speech and language so well.
Right. And one of the other things that we want to touch on here is that you have therapists that are actually going out into the field and doing this ABA therapy at home.
Yes, I do. And it's something that the parents practice, too, as they watch the therapists. They practice and they keep up with it, and the students learn more that way. Matt, you had something to say on that subject, right?
Yeah, I wanted to mention that applied behavior analysis can really be done in many different areas. It could be done in home. It could be done at a center. We've seen ABA being done in a community space, like a library or a grocery store, you know, taking clients out to those places to help, you know, with certain situations. You know, maybe it's maybe they're terrified of a grocery cart, or like there's an issue with checkout, or there's a noise that they hear there, that we can put a program together to like help with that specific situation. Did you have something you wanted to add to that, Lisa?
In other words, ABA, you apply ABA to social situations, social interaction, life skills, things of that nature?
Exactly right, yeah. We had a client that I was thinking of, actually, this specific example of the shopping cart, where we brought a shopping cart into the home and practiced, you know, prior to going out to the grocery store, we practice moving the cart around the home and the sound that it makes. And you know, broke that down into simple tasks about walking a cart through a shopping center or grocery store. And, you know, after a few weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, you're able to go into a grocery store without any behavioral issues, any tantrums, or anything like that. So that's more of the behavior side of it. And then you can also apply it to communication and social interactions as well. In fact, communication is probably one of the biggest things that we see a big increase in. You know, kids coming into the program that have zero vocabulary, and after 3 or 4 months of working in a program that uses applied behavior analysis, they're up to a 50 or 55 word vocabulary. You know, when you talk to a parent that their child hasn't been speaking for 4 or 5 years, and the first time that they say the word mom or dad or I need something, is just, it's amazing the type of feedback we get.
Yeah, so basically it's a program of behavior modification where you're using a great deal of positive reinforcement to go from one step to the next step, if I'm understanding it, and you're doing it in the home, in the field, wherever is the best place to, you know, handle whatever it is that their specific challenges are. In other words, you're going to identify what the challenges are and then how you're going to overcome them. Siobhan, talk to us about your students and what you're doing with positive reinforcement.
Well, yeah, this reminds me exactly of, you know, just the process of learning an instrument. And of course, I don't know a lot about ABA, but what it sounds like to me is, you know, a lot of the methods that I actually use in my teaching practice of, you know, you take a look at a piece and it looks big and it looks complex and it makes you anxious and, oh, I can't do this. But no, if we break it down to one bar and we talk about these are the elements that are going into play in this specific measure in the music. And if we're able to play through this bar, then we'll add the bar in front of it and add the bar behind it and we put it together. Now we have a phrase. So I think a lot of these methods and, you know, using positive reinforcement, I think it can work in any field.
I also wanted to add that a big part of an ABA program is parent teaching and parent learning, and that's one of the first or second things that we really do is a parent education program where, you know, they can continue doing ABA therapy, you know, after the therapist has left the home or after they come back from the center, because it's so important to continue that therapy program even after, you know, therapist has been in home.
Right, so you're actually teaching the parents or the caregivers how to continue on with the therapy. Your therapists, your clinicians are going out and they're dealing directly one-on-one with the child who needs the help, but then you're also involving the parents. I think parental involvement is extremely important, right, Lisa?
It sure is. At Creative Learning Concepts, that's one of the biggest issues I have. It's the parental involvement. It's being a proactive parent. If you don't do your homework with your child, parents always have homework as well. It's going to be half as effective. So I can't stress that enough.
Right. I would say that it's, you know, I mean, the message here that I'm hearing from everybody that's talking is that the parents need to be their own advocate for their own children and need to be very involved in making sure they continue on with whatever the therapist is doing to help the child. Well, we're going to have to go to a quick break. In the meantime, you're listening to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. You can reach Lisa by calling 844-4-POPPER or visit her online at creativelearningconceptsmi.com. Again, that web address is creativelearningconceptsmi.com. You're listening to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cronin, here with Lisa Popper, founder of Creative Learning Concepts and director of the Popper Institute. We're talking this evening about assistance for students facing academic and social challenges. And we would like to thank Matt Bluen of Centria Healthcare for all of his very helpful information. We talked a lot this evening about children who are on the autism spectrum. And we can't underline enough the importance of early diagnosis and treatment. And he certainly gave us a lot of information in that regard. What I took away from listening to this evening was the power of positive reinforcement. And basically, ABA therapy, as he explained, was successive approximations and positive reinforcement all the way through, which the treatment also needs to be followed up by parents and by caregivers. Siobhan, I'd like to ask you, give us some comments about positive reinforcement with your students.
Yeah, well, I mean, just myself sitting and listening to this, I found it very interesting, and I'm definitely going to research a bit about ABA because I feel like that is, you know, in some ways some of the methods that I've, like I mentioned, that I've tried to use in my lessons. You know, just breaking things down into small tasks and saying, yes, good job, that's right, let's do it again. And especially repetition, you know, repeating things that you do well more than once, not thinking that doing it well once is the end of the road, you know. So, I definitely think it's a very effective method and very interesting.
And also, just the idea of that, at the very core of it all, it certainly is building self-esteem. and what you want to, you know, the end result is that you want these kids to feel more confident and more sure of themselves and to know that they are able to achieve something. And Lisa, tell us a little bit about what you're doing in that regard here at Creative Learning Concepts.
You know, the ABA method could be a perfect tool to use for any subject. And at Creative Learning Concepts, we don't just use ABA, we use everything. And like I said, it's like stirring a big pot of alphabet soup. You use one thing and you use another thing, and then they work well together. In ABA, the best thing about it, it's not just the reinforcement. It's taking a more complex task and breaking it down into systematic increments. And then when you achieve success, you positively reinforce the student. Even if the student doesn't achieve success, there's a way that you can encourage that person to try again without damaging his self-esteem. But ABA, the systematic increments, works specifically for reading and literacy. Math, you have to learn math in little increments. You learn, first you learn how to add one digit, two digits, three digits. And when you achieve and master it, you're positively reinforced. And it doesn't have to come from the teacher. It could come from within. You know, you've achieved a task. It feels great. You want to move on. And but at Creative Learning Concepts, positive reinforcement is key. Not only positive reinforcement, parents doing their homework too and practicing with their children. I write down homework for parents all the time to do with their kids. Some parents sit in on the first meeting to see what I'm doing, and then they ask me, can I do the same thing with my child? And I will tell them. I will give them a list of things they can and cannot do and how specifically to reinforce them. And now, at this particular time, before I forget, guess what time it is, everybody? It's school time again, and everybody's stressed out, parents and kids alike. But before parents panic about their child's performance in school, I want to give them a heads up on stress. Everybody's going to have stress. They're out of their element. They're used to the fun and games of summer, you know, swimming, playing with their friends, not having to go to bed real early. But after all is said and done and everybody's into their routine in school, if you notice anything that's a little bit off and you're not sure what to do about it, give us a call at Creative Learning Concepts and we'll take a look and see what we can do. Because the longer you wait, the worse off your child's going to be.
And I think it's very important, once again, thanks for that commentary, Lisa, but I think it's absolutely very important to remember with anything, the sooner you jump on the problem, the better chance you have of having a good resolution. Wouldn't you say so, Siobhan?
Yeah, absolutely. And just, you know, forming habits and, like we've talked about, repetition, you know, catching things at an early stage, that's always the most productive way to sort of tackle a problem.
Right. So early diagnosis, early intervention, that's what it's all about. You're, you know, as we talked about over the break, you're actually doing the student a favor. Well, we're out of time tonight. And that does it again for another Creative Learning Concepts radio show sponsored by Creative Learning Concepts, LLC, on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Anne-Marie Cronin, and again, I want to thank Lisa Popper, Director of Creative Learning Concepts and founder of the Popper Institute, along with Siobhan Cronin, commentator and concert violinist. For more information, you can contact Lisa Popper and the Popper Institute by calling 844-4-POPPER. That's 844-4-POPPER or online at creativelearningconceptsmi.com. Again, that's creativelearningconceptsmi.com. We're closing tonight's show with the ABC Rap, conceived and co-written by Lisa Popper and performed by Detroit rapper Low Fat and violinist Siobhan Cronin. Please do what you can to keep your children engaged, excited, motivated, and in love with learning, for them and for us all. Good night, and as always, enjoy the music.
Education. Yeah. Education. Yeah. Education. Yeah. Always stay in school, yeah, that's the coolest thing.
Life is like a boomerang. Concentration will always get you through. D is for doing all the things that you need to do. Just pull your weight or down, down you will go. Education is the key to the world, yo. Just find your way to good things, and you can see all the joy education brings. A, always stay in school, it's the coolest thing. B, be the best you can be if you just believe. C, concentration would always get you through. D is for doing all the things that you need to do. E, education will make a better you. F means you find your way if you stay in school. G is for good grade equals hard work. The guys who ain't in school is the real jerks. H, be a hero and do what you gotta do. How you gon' make it if you don't stay in school? I, independence will always shine through. J, just stay focused to make a better you. K, keep it pushing and never stop. L, mean a better listener will always learn a lot. M, stay motivated and never lazy. Even when life get hectic, it's all gravy. N, never say never, never lose hope. I don't care if your back is up against the ropes. O, overcome life diversities. P is for the people who believe. If you believe it in your heart, then you should achieve. Q means ask questions, don't be ashamed. Your voice counts too, now let them know your name. R is for keep it real at all times. We all know education build a strong mind. S is for success, now let's get it. T is for the truth, for the young youth. U is for all race to unite. V is for the victory, it is the sight. W is where there's a will, that's a way. X mark the spot why you can't zest through the day. Yeah, through the day, yeah, through the day, yeah. Always stay in school, yeah, that's the coolest thing. Be the best, life is like a boomerang. Concentration will always get you through. D is for doing all the things that you need to do. Always stay in school, yeah, that's the coolest thing. Be the best, life is like a boomerang. Concentration will always get you through.